There's really only one great Atlantic City podcast that's worth listening to. It's called Due for a Win. And my only problem with it is that the episodes don't come out frequently enough. And I am very, very pleased to be joined by the co-host of the Due for a Win Atlantic City and Casito Biz podcast, Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
Thanks for having me. It's great to be back on again. Very flattering introduction.
Well, it happens to be true. Again, sometimes I like the fact that it takes you guys a while to come out with a new episode, because I generally will, you know, I'm pretty out of shape, and I will generally listen to you guys, you and your co-host Kyle, while I'm riding the stationary bike. So if I'm looking for an excuse to be lazy, I'll say, oh, there's no new episode of Due for a Win. Let me postpone going on the stationary bike for a day or two. But for people who have not heard this podcast, Craig, explain it to folks. What do you guys do on the Due for a Win podcast?
We mostly just talk about Atlantic City news, things that are interesting to us, gambling things that come up that are interesting to us, like topics that pop up. Like there was just recently one about, you know, how much should you tip on a $1.1 million jackpot at a table game?
Yeah, so this really happened, right? This came out of Vegas, not in Atlantic City. Somebody was, what were they playing? Was it a four-card poker? What was it?
It's called Crazy Four Poker, which I'm assuming is some sort of variant of four-card poker. Yeah, and they played a side bet and hit some jackpot where it was $1.1 million, and I guess tipped the dealers $200, and people on the internet were not, didn't look kindly on that amount of a tip on a $1.1 million jackpot.
You know, I've noticed people on the internet are awfully generous with other people's money. I don't see these folks that are so quick to criticize what other people are tipping rushing to up their own tips. But what was the consensus between you and your co-host Kyle and or the people that were commenting on this of what the appropriate amount of money to tip on a $1.1 million jackpot is?
Well, Kyle and I came up with something between $1 and $2,000 that we figured we would tip. And again, it's kind of hard because now we've seen the discussion, so maybe we're upping it more because now we know that there's shame out there. But, you know, the numbers that were getting thrown around on the internet, there was a dealer who posted in a different Facebook group who said 25,000 would be the bare minimum. And that's just an absurd amount in my mind when I have $25,000 tips. So,
oh, yeah, no way. You're not going to. First of all, the guy's just bringing you a giant check. What did he do to earn that $25,000?
Yeah, I mean, I guess at the table game, it is the dealers who are actually dealing the cards. But even then, I mean, $25,000 for a couple minutes.
No, I like your range of $1,000 to $2,000. Now, the thing that was interesting about your podcast, which I have been listening to for a couple of years now, is that you guys kept doing this throughout the pandemic, even when there was long gaps in between you guys visiting Atlantic City. Now, doing a weekly Atlantic City segment, sometimes I feel like I don't get there enough. But how did you guys keep doing a whole Atlantic City podcast when, at some cases, you'd go months, maybe more, without visiting Atlantic City?
It was tough. I mean, we went before everything started, or probably during when everything was starting with the pandemic in March. And then we didn't go again for probably a year, a little more than a year. And we definitely decreased the frequency. We do it every 2 weeks. There were a lot of stretches and still are a lot of stretches where we do it every 3 weeks. But just covering the news, seeing what was going on. We talked a lot about pandemic stuff, which probably wasn't the most exciting to listen to. But we added segments. We talked a lot about history stuff. We started watching Boardwalk Empire, I think a little bit before the pandemic started, but it's given us some content where we watch one episode of Boardwalk Empire every episode that we record, and then we talk about it at the end of the episode. So it kind of gives us something to talk about. I don't know if anybody sticks around and listens to that at the very end of the show, but it's been good to keep up with sort of Atlantic City in a way without in a time when there wasn't a ton of news about it.
No, I mean, you guys really strike a terrific balance. So you cover the news about anything that's happening now. If a casino announces that they're being sold, like Bally's was, or if they announce that there's going to be millions of dollars of renovations, as Caesars and the Ocean is, you cover that. Also, you cover news related to what casinos are doing well, which are not doing so well. Then, as you mentioned, you're kind of watching the series Boardwalk Empire one episode at a time, and you look back at various important years in Atlantic City's history. It's a great way to blend, I think, a fictionalized version of Atlantic City with some nostalgia and some news, and I really haven't heard any podcast that that quite does it that way. And you guys both have kind of a unique sense of humor and kind of a sarcastic wit, which I think serves the podcast well. How are you guys liking Boardwalk Empire so far? Are you in season three right now?
We just finished season three for an episode that I have recorded but haven't edited yet. And season three we were very hard on. The first two seasons I thought were good, and then it really went off the rails in season three, and then I thought the finale of season three was excellent. So I'm totally back on board as we go forward with the last two seasons of the show. So I'm excited to get back to watching it now instead of dreading it, which I was a little bit for the maybe first 10 episodes of season three.
What was your last trip to Atlantic City?
I went in May, so I didn't go at all during the summer. But then I am going again tomorrow, so that'll be good.
Yeah, no, so you've been promoting this trip on the 17th, but you almost seemed as if you were pretty pessimistic about somebody getting COVID and preventing you from going. But I'm glad to see, so far at least, we still have 24 hours for that to change. So far, that hasn't happened. Are you taking the $19 bus out there?
I'm not. I'm taking the train, and the train was $17 down. So, train to Philadelphia, and then my brother's going to pick me up in Philadelphia. But Amtrak is unbelievably cheap right now for some reason. I don't know why every other form of travel and renting a car is really expensive and Amtrak is really cheap, but it'll be a very rare trip for me where I don't take a bus either direction. So I'm going to be feeling very swanky when I get to Atlantic City, not having ridden in the bus for 2.5 hours.
Now, you are a self-described low roller. What are you planning to play when you get there, and where are you guys staying?
So I'm staying at Ocean. Kyle is staying at Resorts for one night and then Tropicana for one night. I'm an unashamed low roller, so I play a lot of 25-cent video poker. That's probably my biggest game. I've had some very lucky wins in video poker that have kind of kept my gambling budget going much better than I ever would have thought. And then just a lot of different penny slots. You know, I like to go play some of the old cheap penny slots, and then there's some new ones. I started watching or going down the rabbit hole of YouTube slot videos, which is a whole genre that you would not think is very interesting at all, but watching other people hit bonuses surprisingly really makes you want to go play slots. So tell me
about this. YouTube slot videos? They're videos of people playing slot machines at a casino?
Yeah, there's so many channels of people just going to the casino and taking their phone out and recording their slot session. I mean, the best ones, though, actually give you sort of a tour of Las Vegas or Atlantic City and then go show them as they hit a bonus. You know, they're not just showing you the entire slot session, but they're showing you showing a bonus. So for Atlantic City, there's one called Tiffany Gambla, G-A-M-B-L-A, that she's really good. And then Matt Bridger for Vegas, I think he's pretty
good. I've seen some of these Tiffany Gambla videos. There's not much of a story. It's just pretty much her walking around, right?
Yeah, but if you miss, especially during the pandemic when we couldn't get to Atlantic City, being able to sort of feel that attachment to seeing somebody else's trip and seeing what they're doing and things that you would do or would like to do is a really good way to stay in touch, you know, going back and watching her previous videos and stuff.
That's fair. So you're staying at the Ocean tomorrow. Did you get a comp at the Ocean for a Friday?
We did. So, yeah, my brother and I are staying there. We were able to get a comp there. So all the rooms are comps. We had to do some, you know, you can add a companion code if for Caesars and they'll help you out if you've got two people staying in the room. So we had to do that kind of stuff. But yeah, we managed to get Friday and Saturday comps. So thankfully, it's after Labor Day, and the rates have started to come down.
Well, that's pretty good. Even still, I've seen some of the room rates in Atlantic City and on the weekend, and it is still pretty rough out there in terms of getting comps. Now, I did see the news that, and I think I might have seen this in your Due for a Win Facebook group, that Harry's Oyster Bar is closing. What's the story here? Are you sorry to see it go?
Yeah, I mean, it had a good long run for a casino restaurant, but it's owned by the people who own Docks and Knife and Fork, and then a new restaurant called Dockerty's in Resorts. And, you know, their restaurants are very good. They're like legendary Atlantic City establishments that have been around for over 100 years. Knife and Fork, I think, opened in like 1910 or something. So Harry's was the really casual offshoot of that. It was like a nice oyster bar in the Dennis Tower of Bally's. And they, I guess, they're shutting down. They said their lease is ending. You know, Bally's is under new ownership, so I don't know what they're going to do with that space. But I am sad to see it go because it was a good, like, decent, low-key option that was sort of more Atlantic City than a lot of the casino restaurants. It was funny. We saw a lot of reaction that was, like, good riddance. You know, the service was bad, which the service did tend to be kind of slow. But we did really like it for what it was, just kind of like get some quick seafood, get some oysters, get a decent beer, and then go back to the tables.
A lot of the people that tend to patronize Atlantic City, they don't go out of the casino hotels. They play there, they eat there, they drink there, they go to shows there, and then they go home. You don't do that. You spend a fair amount of time gambling, the video poker or whatever else, as you said, but then you will venture out and do some other things, right?
Yeah, and that's really one of my favorite things about having done the podcast, because when we started, even probably for the first year or two that we did the show, we were the same way. We never left the casino. We would even go, you know, stay at Caesars or Bally's and rarely leave Caesars, Bally's, Wild Old West, which are all these three connected casinos. And then, you know, obviously as we've followed it more and read more about what's opening elsewhere, you know, the Orange Loop development has happened where there's several restaurants and bars and a coffee shop. We've just gotten more interested in the non-casino stuff and really made it a point to get out of the casinos and go wander around and go get dinner at more interesting places that aren't just the same places in the casino all the time. And it's really increased our enjoyment of our experiences in Atlantic City, because there's so much stuff in Atlantic City that's not in the casinos that is really good. And, you know, I just mentioned the Knife and Fork and Docks. Those are two classic Atlantic City restaurants that are not in casinos. So, yeah, I think you do have to venture out of the casinos to do some of that stuff. And I'm a huge Little Water Distillery fanboy. So going out there and getting some cocktails or tasting some of their liquor and buying some stuff to take home is one of my favorite things.
Again, which place is that? Which distillery?
Little Water Distillery. So it's out on Baltic Avenue, and they just opened next door, not they, but next door, they just opened a brewery called The Seed that won or was named by USA Today as one of the best microbreweries in the United States. So another interesting place to check out. You can kind of go and do a little booze tour of Little Water and The Seed.
What are some other places outside of the casinos that you'd suggest to people that maybe haven't been there in a while?
The default is sort of the boardwalk. I always like to go to the outlets and walk around, but those are sort of like big staples that everybody talks about. Kyle walked up to the top of the lighthouse a couple times, and I want to try to make it a point to do that this trip, although when I'm actually in Atlantic City, I don't know if I am ever going to have it in me to just walk up a ton of stairs, which is what that entails. I mean, just a lot of the dining outside of the restaurants is a big, I mean, outside of the casinos is a big thing. There's a bunch of stuff that people recommend to us that we haven't done, unfortunately. There's, you know, dolphin tours and fishing, sort of, I don't know if they're tours or what you call them, but, you know, boat-related stuff that we haven't done, but there's actually a huge list Ed O'Connor, who I know you've talked to in the past, sent a huge list to the You Can Bet on That podcast. So there's actually a list at youcanbetonthat.com of non-gambling things to do in Atlantic City. That's a really good list and really detailed. I mean, Lucky Snake Arcade just opened in Showboat. That's a huge arcade. So that's another.
Have you guys been in there yet? I was just in there for the first time.
I have not. I know that Showboat just in general bumps Kyle out, so we haven't made it in there. But we're going to be, with him staying at Resorts and me staying at Ocean, it's going to be right in between us. So I'm definitely going to at least walk through it. I don't know if I'll actually play, but it seems right up my alley and something that I would really like. You know, I always like Dave and Buster's and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is fun. They have an air hockey table, which where four people can play. They have a giant boxing ring, which the public can't use, but it's kind of cool that they have it there. But then I'm thinking to myself, I didn't play any of the games or anything, but there are a lot of games that I would play. But I'm thinking, all right, well, I could play these games, or I could go next door to Resorts or Ocean or Hard Rock, and then I could play games and try to win some money. I mean, I guess it's a good option when you've run out of money, but I really think it's a great option. They do have a bar there, which is great, but it's a great option if you want to play and send a child to the arcade next door or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and Showboat, it's funny, Showboat's history, you know, they used to have a bowling alley, which they closed a long time ago, but back when it was a casino. So it was kind of like the casino that you went and brought your kids to and sent them to the arcade and went to the bowling alley if you were tired of gambling and stuff like that. So it's funny that it's sort of come, not full circle because it doesn't have a casino anymore, but they're sort of going back to that of a track. And they're talking about building a water park there, so they're really going toward that family focus right in the middle of, like you said, Hard Rock, Ocean, Resorts, and casino area, the most densely casino populated part of the border.
Are you optimistic? And if people are just tuning in, we're talking with Craig Stone. He's the co-host of the Do for a Win Atlantic City Casino Biz podcast. It's a terrific podcast. It's one of the few non-radio podcasts that I listen to. You could check out the podcast for yourself at doforawin.com. That's DUEforawin.com. Are you optimistic about Atlantic City's future, or how do you see the next few years playing out for Atlantic City?
Well, it seems like they've come back really strong after the pandemic. The numbers, the overall gambling revenue numbers have been really, really good, better than 2019. Although if you look at just the brick and mortar in casino numbers, it's lagging a little bit behind. But I think even beyond that, I think what's really promising is seeing, you know, Borgata has always just dominated. They have been so far ahead of everyone else in Atlantic City in terms of revenue, which is great, except that Borgata is very separate from the rest of the city. And there was a survey done a while ago by Borgata where some huge percentage of people that go to Borgata don't even consider that they're in Atlantic City when they're at Borgata, which is, you know, great for them because it means that people are very stained in Borgata, but it means that people aren't going to the rest of Atlantic City. But seeing Hard Rock and Ocean, which just opened a few years ago, starting to really do well, and Hard Rock especially has put up some huge months in the summer, not quite to Borgata levels, but doing very well. It's really promising because it shows that the new stuff that is good, and if you put the investment into the property, people will come out and see it. And Hard Rock's doing, you know, tons of live entertainment. Ocean obviously has this sparkling newest construction on the boardwalk, and it shows that it is worth investing in Atlantic City, still in Atlantic City casinos. And I think for years and years, the default opinion was it is not worth investing in, you know, it's not worth adding casinos to Atlantic City because you're just splitting up the pie. You're not growing the pie at all. And we're seeing maybe that's not really true anymore.
What's the record for the most days on one trip you've ever spent in Atlantic City consecutively?
I don't think I've ever done more than a two-night trip, so three pretty full 3 days, you know, get there pretty early and then leave late. The huge majority of my trips have been just one-night trips, and it's weird having gone my last two trips going two nights, thinking that I ever did a one-night trip, because it just seems like there's so much stuff to do.
Well, that's the way I feel every time I'm there, no matter, you know, it's rare that I would stay more than two nights, but whether I'm there two nights, three nights, it's been years since I was there more than that. I feel like I can never get as much done in a day there as I'd like to do because there's just so much to do.
Yeah, especially if you're doing the beach or anything, it just, you know, spend a ton of time out. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a huge beach guy, but certainly spend time out on the beach, spend time walking on the boardwalk. You know, there's beach bars, there's tons of places to go. Even if you're not a gambler, if you're more of an eater and a drinker, there's a ton of stuff to do in Atlantic City. So, you know, I like to check out different bars and go to new restaurants and stuff. And I always feel like my list of places I want to go is 10 times longer than what I have meals and drinks available, my capacity for meals and drinks. So that's kind of always I always have a list that's my backup, and I always just go consult that before I go on any trip to see if I need to update it.
A fella here asked earlier how I compared Las Vegas to Atlantic City. I'll ask you the same question. Have you been to Vegas, and how do you compare the Las Vegas culture and experience to the Atlantic City culture and experience?
Yeah, I've been to Vegas 6 or 7 times. I haven't been for 2 years, and it was 6 years before that. Before that, I was going every year for a few years. And I love Vegas. It's amazing. It's just on a whole other level. Vegas, the difference to me is Vegas is, I mean, it's much bigger. There's way more casinos. Even on the Strip, the casinos are further apart. Like, just because they're so huge, just walking from one casino to another it takes a long time. So one thing I like about Atlantic City is that the boardwalk, it feels easier to get from one place to another.
Right.
I guess the boardwalk has kind of gotten more spread out as stuff is closed. For me, the big difference in the vibe is that Atlantic City is so laid back compared to Vegas. And I love the energy of Vegas and how crazy it is. But Atlantic City, especially off season, is just like a very chill place to go. Go get a dinner. It's not going to be packed. It's not going to be $200 a person if you don't want it to be. and, you know, you kind of just wander around. It's also very gambling focused. Vegas has gone very much toward entertainment and food and beverage. They make more money on non-gambling attractions than they do on gambling attractions. The last I saw, I think it was like a 70-30 split where gambling is only 30% of the revenue. Atlantic City is still extremely gambling focused, and part of that is that there is not as much non-casino stuff to do, but it does mean that they are still very generous for the most part to people who are coming to gamble, and what they're focused on is getting you to come to gamble. So you'll get typically, you know, pretty generous deals, especially in the off season. And a lot of the casinos do promotions and stuff to try to get you to the casino, and for the most part, decisions seem to be made based on gambling at the casinos in Atlantic City, whereas in Vegas, it seems like the gambling has become this secondary thing where, you know, going to a show, going to a dinner, going and getting a drink is really where they're going to get their money.
All right. Well, you want to check out, if you're interested in Atlantic City because you enjoy going there, or you're interested in listening vicariously because you haven't been there, either way, you're going to want to check out the Do for a Win Atlantic City podcast. They've proven that even when they're not in Atlantic City, they can still talk about it with the best of them. Craig, I will look forward to our next conversation, and I will look forward to the next new podcast that you guys are posting.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me on again, Frank.
Sure thing. Have fun this weekend. If I Venmo you $5, maybe you could put it on the Hard Eight, and then if it hits, leave it up there, and then hopefully I'll end up with $500, and then I'll happily tip you $25 or so, or whatever the protocol calls for.
Yeah, that sounds good. I won't tip shame you, whatever the tip is.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Craig Stone, the Do for a Win Atlantic City podcast.